answer. He is our all in all. Our theme is so easy to segue into. So, because it's all about Jesus. It is, absolutely. It's not about us, it's about Him. I appreciate that, Brother Thompson. You and your Bibles tonight, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. And I'm sorry I picked on Brother Hunsberger on, you know, one of the new members like that. He never picks on me, so. Amen. It is good to see some new faces in the choir. I've noticed the Zellners and others in the choir. And let's keep up the good work. Enjoyed that choir special this morning. And the Lord is good. We're not going to do a whole lot of introduction tonight as we study the book of Hebrews again, and we're going to finish chapter 2. Let's begin in verse 14. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, and he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who were through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest." And you ought to underline the word high priest. Absolutely, the phrase high priest. As we see here, the introduction of one of the great themes of the book of Hebrews, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Let's pray. God, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to come and to gather around your word and to feed upon this bread of life. And we ask tonight that you would again enlighten us, give us understanding into the subject of your great and high priestly ministry. Lord, we ask again that we would see you afresh and new. And I pray tonight that we would see these great truths that are set before us. Lord, there's some deep things here. I pray that those who are in attendance tonight would get what they can get. And Lord, I pray that you would give them more than they could receive. We ask this in your name. Amen. We see in verses 9 that Christ became a man to die for man's sin. He tasted death for every man. We spent some time on that last week. In verse 10, we see that Christ accomplished his ministry and assumed his position through suffering death upon the cross as a man, that captain of our salvation. We see in verses 11 through 13 that Christ has sanctified and made us one with him, calling us his brethren. We are brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we emphasized it so much last week that he looked beyond our faults, he looked beyond our failures, and he has identified himself with us. I'm telling you, that's something. If you think about it for just a moment, that the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to identify and able and wants to identify with us. And though we have failed him so many times, he loves us, he cares for us, and therefore we are his brethren and sister. Those who are saved, of course, are brothers and sisters with him. Now, as we look here at this scripture this evening, we enter upon the verses that begins this major theme in the book of Hebrews, which is the ministry of the high priest, as Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Here he says he's a merciful and faithful high priest. So I would just encourage you again to underline that in your Bible, as we have begun this study, that the emphasis from here on out is going to be a lot on this ministry of Jesus being our high priest. We see in verse 14 and 15, we see the humanity of Jesus Christ in his power. It says in verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same." And we don't use this term a lot, but the incarnation of Christ. I met a man a few years back who was a Mormon, and I shook his hand. I was a part of a funeral that he was a part of, and so we got to talking about some of the things. And one of the things we did agree on, and there was not a whole lot, but we did agree upon the incarnation of Christ, that God became flesh. And that was unusual for me to find a Mormon who believed that, but anyway, he did. And we believe, the Bible teaches, that God became flesh.
He became a man. It says again here, he became partaker. Look there again. It says that he also himself took part in the same. Took part in what? Becoming flesh and blood. God became man. He became flesh. Why? He became a man in order to save man. He became a man in order to save mankind from their sins. I know this is hard, and even to me as I studied this today in this last week, it just really become even fresher in my mind, and if anything, I grasped it just a little bit more, that God became flesh in order to save mankind from the wrath of God. You see, man owed God. We have a debt to God. Please, I'm slowing down a little bit. I want you to... I prayed a while ago. Get what you can get, okay? And I don't get it all. I haven't arrived. Amen. Get what you can get. But listen closely. Man owes a debt to God. Let me ask you this. Do the angels owe a debt? No. Never says so. Man owes a debt. By the way, he owes a debt he could not pay. And so, again, man owed a debt. Man was under God's wrath. Man is under God's wrath because of sin. Not the angels. Angels can't die. And we can go into that discussion later on. But man has the problem. Man has the issue. Man owes the debt. Jesus Christ became a man in order to pay man's debt. Illustrated for us in the book of Ruth. In the book of Ruth, when Ruth and Naomi return after Naomi had lost her husband and two children, and Ruth clung to her, and they returned back there to Bethlehem, and there they, Ruth happened, the Bible says, happenstance upon the field of Boaz, happenstance, yeah, right, happened upon the field of Boaz, a near kinsman of Naomi, a near kinsman of Ruth, and the story goes on, such a beautiful, beautiful picture, beautiful story of how Ruth, who was a Moabitess woman, who was not a Jew, was taken in and married Boaz. But why? Because Boaz was a near kinsman. The only way that Ruth and Naomi could be redeemed was that they were near kinsmen. Everybody with me? Everybody gonna miss the point? A near kinsman. Jesus Christ became a man in order to become a near kin of mankind. Everyone with me? Became a man, entered the human race, became near kin in order to redeem mankind. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Man owed a debt he could not pay, but Christ became a man in order to pay sin's debt that man owed. His incarnation, he partook, if you would, of the same. It goes on to say that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And here we see in his humanity, we see his power. And that through his humanity and his defeating of death, he destroyed Satan and Satan's grip on death. He took flesh, tells us here, he took upon himself flesh in order to die. That's the point now. The point. He became flesh to die. That was his purpose. To die and to be buried and to rise again from the dead. And if you look there again, it says that he through death might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He delivered us from Satan's authority. He disarmed and destroyed Satan and death. We need no longer fear death because of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says and talks about there in Corinthians and referring to Jesus in his resurrection says, O death, where is thy sting? We understand that we can all relate to that, a bee sting or two, and it hurts. But can I tell you, death, we need no longer fear death. It has no sting to the person, to the brothers and sisters in Christ. I've witnessed many, many deaths being a pastor. And I've witnessed many various families going through losing a loved one, myself included, as all of us have been touched by death. And I tell you, I've been very just amazed again at the peace and grace that comes when death comes to a family. Miss Leslie's a great picture of that, Miss Grigsby, and how that she could sit there and think upon her husband of 48 years, and yet, though she was sorrowful, yet experienced joy at the same time. Isn't that amazing? Why? Death has no sting. Death has no sting. You see, we have gained victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. The victory has been won. It's finished. Jesus Christ has conquered death, hell, and the grave. Death cannot harm us. I love this statement. It wasn't mine. I won't claim it. Death cannot harm us, but it only can promote us to glory. Let me say that again. Death cannot harm us, but only promote us to glory. Amen. That's all it can do. Death does not harm us. Death has no sting. It just simply promotes us on to a better place. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We're merely here for just a short time. And as Christians, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we do not have to fear death. Death has no sting because of the victory that Jesus provides for us by way of His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Victory is in the incarnation of the Son of God, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. We think again of His incarnation and the power of His incarnation. The power there as a man as He hung there on the cross, paid the ultimate price for us, paid our sin debt on the cross. We see also His person, and I know this is a little repetition here, but verse 16 says, "For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. In His humanity, He became our high priest." And here it mentions His person. He did not become an angel to save fallen angels, but He stooped lower than the angels. We've already covered this in chapter 1. He stooped lower than the angels and became a man. And can I tell you, He became of the seed of Abraham. He was born a Hebrew. He was born a Jew. Can I tell you that the Jewish race was looked down upon? By the way, they still are today. They're still despised today. And yet, not only did He choose and He chose and He became a man, God in the flesh, but He also became a Hebrew. That's our Savior. That's our Lord, Abraham. By the way, the mention of it here by the Apostle Paul is significant because he is writing to the Hebrews. And he is teaching and telling them, listen, don't go back to Judaism. Don't go back to your ritualistic forms. Don't go back. Stay the course. Don't let the gospel of Christ slip. But stay the course. Chapter 6 says, go forward in your faith. Writing to the Hebrews, the Jewish Christians. We think upon the subject again that Christ was the incarnate one, God in the flesh. We realize that Jesus Christ is no academic Savior. I use that term for this reason. You think about someone who would write a book. Say a lady would write a book about raising kids, which has happened many times. Lots of books out there. Let's say a psychologist wrote a book about raising kids, and some parents, got into it, said it was a great book, but found out later on that the psychologist had no kids of their own. Would the book carry as much weight? No. You don't write a book if you've never had kids. I don't know. We can empathize, and we can go by the Word of God and help. And every time I think about that, I think about Dr. Barber. Dr. and Ms. Barber have never had any kids. Pastor of Worth Baptist Church for 35 years, and yet he is the one of the most premier speakers in the family because he's got the Word of God to tell him how to do it. But practically speaking, we want to take advice from somebody who's been there. I mean, if I'm going to take advice about finance, I'm going to go to somebody who's been there. I want somebody not only that can empathize with me, but somebody can sympathize with me. Again, back to Ms. Grigsby. I went to Ms. Grigsby a couple days before Brother George died and said, listen, I absolutely can empathize with you, but I cannot sympathize. I've never been in this position. But I do know the Lord knows where you're at. Amen? But there is something about another person. It's, you know, Miss Mosenauer has such a great ministry here because she's experienced the death of her spouse. She understands that. And therefore, she could minister to some ladies better than I could, and to some men better than I could. Jesus Christ became flesh. He became flesh, not to empathize with us, but to sympathize with us as our great high priest. He's experienced, and we'll go on here because it further explains it. He became a man, and in particular of the seed of Abraham. Verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Why? That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. We see here not only his person in verse 16 as the incarnate one of the seed of Abraham, but we see his priesthood. And that his priesthood is a merciful and faithful one. Merciful simply means not getting the punishment we deserve. Why would Christ be merciful to us? Now we know as God that he is. As God he's merciful because we serve a merciful God. But why would Jesus Christ as our high priest be merciful? Because he's experienced the humanity, the sinless humanity on his part of the life that we live. He's experienced it. In other words, he comforts us because he's been there. Verse 18 says, he experienced sufferings like we have. Sinless, yet touched by weariness. Sinless, yet hungered and thirsted and was falsely accused and lied about and despised, and rejected. He experienced physical suffering. He experienced death. He became a partaker, if you would. Tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. I touched on that this morning. He is a merciful high priest, not giving us what we deserve, not giving the punishment we deserve, because he understands, if you would, where we're at. He's been there. He did so in order to reconcile us, the reconciliation of our sins, of the people, and I'm glad today that he reconciled me. In other words, he brought us back into fellowship with God, back into favor with God by paying for our sins on the cross. He is a faithful high priest in that he is interceding for us continually. He is merciful in not getting us the punishment we deserve, and he is faithful in interceding for us continually. That's our Lord and Savior. Let me again quickly just remind you. He became a man. Not an angel, but a man. Why? Because man had the problem. Man had a debt he could not pay. We had the debt. And Jesus Christ, God of the universe, became man in order to pay our sin debt. An angel could not pay our sin debt. Because an angel did not own a debt. We as mankind owned a debt. So Christ became a man in order to represent you and I. We were all represented in Adam when he sinned, but we were all represented in Jesus Christ there on the cross. He took upon the sins of the world, the Bible says. He took upon the sins of and all of our iniquities. He died for all mankind there on the cross. He paid the sin debt that we owed. It goes on to speak about his high priestly ministry. It says to succor them that are tempted. This word means to run up at a cry for help. It carries with it the idea of to run to a crying child. That Jesus Christ as man and Jesus Christ as having experienced the temptation, he knows what it's like. He is sympathetic to our cries. Our Savior who comes to us, he comes to us in our time of need. And that when we cry to him, he succors them who cry because he's sympathetic. Amen. I don't know about you, but I am sympathetic to my children for the most part. And so is the Lord sympathetic to us, His children. He comes to us in our time of need. The Lord is superior to all others in His person. He's superior to the prophets. He's superior to the angels. Why? Because He was God in the flesh. As the Son of God, He places His hand upon deity. As the Son of Man, He places His hand upon humanity. Get the picture. Love this. As the Son of God, He places His hand upon deity. If you could just think about the Lord's outstretched hand placing Himself there in heaven. He is deity. When Jesus upon the earth, He knew men's thoughts. Right? He didn't lay aside His deity. He laid aside His glory. He was still deity and is today. So as the Son of God, He had His hand in heaven. He's still deity. But as the Son of Man, He had His hand upon humanity. He bridged the gap between humanity and deity. He reconciled God and man together. Brought us back together and in favor with God. He bridged that gap. He was God in the flesh, and yet He was man. And only a man could represent mankind. Mankind owed a debt, and only a man could pay that debt. Not an angel, not any other creature, but a man. So Jesus Christ made Himself a little lower than the angels in order that He might save man from the wrath of God that had been placed upon their sins. What a truth now. He is the one person in the universe who could satisfy God's wrath and meet man's need. He is the only one who is uniquely qualified to be our Savior. That's our Savior. He was God and He was man. As man, He could represent mankind. As God, He could take God's wrath. And I don't have time tonight to go into or even think about going into that only God could take all God's wrath. And the wrath of God was poured out upon Jesus. Why? Because He sympathized with us. He loved us. Came and died and was buried and rose again for us. And He's not ashamed of us. We are called His brethren and sistern, that's a water thing. It's kind of like the word picnicky. He loves us. Think about that for a moment. The God of the universe who made all things, He knows everything. So therefore, He became a man for us, knowing that that was the only solution to our sinful debt problem. God became flesh. That's our Savior. He's not ashamed of us. And we shouldn't be ashamed of Him. I think tonight again, as we study the book of Hebrews, and there's a lot here, it's just again to contemplate how great our Savior is. A lot of Hebrews is going to be about that. So, preacher, how's the rubber meet the road? Where's the application tonight? The application is we serve a great God. And we need to recognize that and understand the price that was paid. And that He was the only one who could place that payment. And He willingly did so. And now He ministers to us as our high priest. And not just any high priest. He's not the guy over there in the little telephone booth who may or may not be in a good mood. But He's a merciful and faithful high priest. Because why? Because He sympathizes with us. Because He's been there. He understands. Let me clarify again. He understands humanly speaking. Not experimentally. Not looking from the outside in. Not looking down from heaven only. But he entered the human race in order to sympathize with us. That's a merciful and faithful God. And now he sits at the right hand of the throne of God as our high priest interceding for us. What a great and wonderful Lord we have. Let's all stand. Hymn 163, Only Trust Him. The Lord has touched your heart tonight. You come as we contemplate who our Savior is and learn more about